Hello, groomers. This is Susie coming to you as your podcast producer, and I'm just filling you in on what's going on. So I'm going to release this live broadcast without editing, my least favorite thing to do in the whole wide world. But the only way I'm going to catch up is by doing this release without the editing. So I apologize. I've tried to even out the sound as best I can. That was Huckleberry. Back to our regularly scheduled programming on Thursday. But meanwhile, here's a show you can listen to if you can tolerate it unedited. All right. See you guys next week.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird. So, how are you, Barbara?
I'm good. I'm good. And I do want to explain to our viewers that appearing before you today required a great leap on my part, rising above my vanity, okay? Rising above my vanity, because as you will notice, I've lost a front tooth out of my fucking dentures.
Oh, man. Did you ever find the tooth?
No, I ate it.
I hate that. Oh, God.
I hate it when that happens. Listen. Then I laugh and I really show it. Yeah. I was going to try to talk with my mouth half closed all day, but I already laughed and showed the whole thing. No, hey, come on, people. I'm sorry, but it is funny, and I'm saying getting old, it's just full of so many surprises. Such as eating your own teeth. I mean, am I nuts or something that I thought that if I paid $10,000 for a set of false teeth that they would be forever?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Is it the same one that fell out before?
No, that was that my implant. See, I have the bottoms. I paid an extra $1,000 to have two implants in my lower dentures so that it wouldn't flop around when I spoke or ate or any of the other things. But
all
you
of
know,
those
like
necessary things.
Yeah, as a public speaker, I thought it was sort of a necessary expense.
Yes,
but.
Okay, so
but
this,
never,
this is your actual, like the attached to the plastic thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's better. I thought it was another implant missing.
No, it's not that. No, and
but yeah, is there a guarantee? There ought to be a guarantee.
No, I don't think I have a warranty.
Jeez.
There's no warranty. No, it's just tough shit. You know, I'm sorry. Excuse my language, people, but it's a gross situation. Anyway, I've been hiding out and not going live, but I've also been not calling the dentist.
Oh.
So right. I've even had Alexa remind me to call the dentist and not called.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a real dental appointment. I mean, you just got to leave your teeth there.
That's the deal. It's my uppers.
Oh, my God.
It's my uppers, and I have to leave them there.
Oh, that's not so cool. Right, because there's... Okay.
So, you know what I do? When this... I mean, I've had to... well, what I did when I had to leave the lowers, even, I take one of the my paw print cloth masks for de-shedding with me, and as soon as I turn over my thing, I put on my paw prints. So what is more noticeable as you're driving down the street? A lady with no teeth or fucking paw prints all over her bottom of her face?
Talk about attracting attention.
You know, like, I am just so sure that if I give up my dentures and drive toothless, that some, like, high school buddy is going to pull up beside me and say, Hey, bird!
That'd be the day The Rock shows up in your front yard.
I don't know. But anyway, so here I am, and I tried to make up for the kind of unattractiveness of the gaping hole in my upper smile by applying makeup. and then, you know, like, for whom do I apply makeup? The stupid camera on my Mac is just, like, so brutal.
Oh, yes.
I don't think you're camera is as hard on you as mine is on me. It just, like, makes me look like shit no matter what I do.
Right.
You know, so anyway, so I know. So everybody's going to write in, "You're beautiful, Bird. You're beautiful." Well, thanks. I don't need you to do that. I know I'm pretty beautiful, even without a tooth. But
well, okay. Well, let's do the business part of the show. Welcome to episode number 10 live of the Groom Pod. Brought to you from Tucson, Arizona and Snohomish, Washington on January 26th, 2020. And we're going to talk about a bunch of shit, so I'm not even going to bother to go over it. And I can't advertise on Facebook, so we won't worry about that. But what I do want to talk about is absorber towels, because I'm so loving the absorber. You're laughing at me because I said a swear.
Yeah, I know. You're so. I've just had this horrible influence on you. You just, like, never used to cuss at all, and now I've heard the S-bomb and the F-bomb from your very lips during a broadcast. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I am growing as a person. What can I say?
So, yeah, you're so in love with your absorbers, and I cannot. Yvonne has refused to use them.
I'm so sorry, man. They're making such a difference in the trailer, in my drawing time on every single dog. Yes, I spend more mechanical time than blowing time than I used to, but the amount of water that comes off makes the actual blow drying so much shorter. In this time of year, time is money for me. I'm a mobile groomer. It's important. Now, I will say, leaving them in a baggie, not the best storage method. And especially one that may potentially have had candy in it. Because with any baggie that I'm reusing, it either had bows in it or it had candy in it. And I'm leaning towards the candy in this one because it definitely has an odor on the second one, because I'm storing them both together. I'm still waiting for my little Tupperware. I've got a Tupperware spaghetti canister that's coming that I'm going to put the liquid in. And then I was thinking maybe I'd just leave a tub in my bathtub and let it slosh around while I'm driving with the vinegar in it. But the vinegar, the vinegar going to kill the odor a little bit? I mean, is stuff going in there? What's happening?
Well, most times odor is associated with bacteria. But, you know, I just leave mine out. I just roll them up and leave them on the side of the tub. Well, you might. But I would put them in the bottom of the tub. And in the morning, I just wet them down, bring them out, and start all over again. As long as I rinse them with vinegar at the end of the day, they're fine. They just might be a little dried out, but probably not even in your humid environment. They might be just ready to go. I think you're overworking it.
It's like you're in my head, Barbara. As the words are coming out of your mouth, they're forming in my head that in my trailer, it's not going to dry out overnight. Heaven forbid. If anything, it'll soak a little of the moisture up out of the air.
Right. Hallelujah.
Yes. Maybe and that's a good thing. In there. Yes.
Right. Right.
So have you used them anymore?
Oh, yeah, well, I gave Yvonne a demonstration. You know, like I said, okay, I she texted me that I was not honoring her difficulty with her hands. She's having a lot of problems with her hands. She's going to get shots, but not till the end of February. And
did she try to stick it through something and twist it?
She didn't try anything.
Okay. All right.
No. She has just... So I said, you know, it's important to me that I not have to wash the towels anymore because my washing machine is refusing to complete the spin cycle. With the towels in there, and I have to stand at the washing machine and every 5 seconds redistribute the load by putting my hands in the water and jerking towels around, redistributing the load, shutting the lid, see, trying it again, and it'll go on. Stop. You know, that's about it. You know, and it's just like, and talk about hurting your hands, you know, like messing with these totally saturated large towels, that hurts too. And it's just like, and if I walk off and forget that I've got a load of laundry in there, I'll just come back in a few hours and it'll just be sitting in full water. You know, so I just can't do that anymore. And this is such a perfect solution. It's a perfect solution.
Kaylee's you can have got a those... question.
Hey, Kaylee, what's up?
She wants to know if wood soaking the absorbers in chlorhexidine shampoo work as well. Or even washing them at the end of the day, like with a little soothe. Washing them and then...
Yeah, but you can't do a little soothe. Here's the deal. Here's the deal about antibacterial product. You got to use it full strength.
Oh, right.
You know, if when we use a chlorhexidine shampoo soothe through the Bathing Beauty, we're not getting the antibacterial result. You have to put that stuff on straight because it only contains like 2% chlorhexidine. So if you want to do that and then rinse the soap out of your absorber, you can. But it's so much easier just to use some, and cheaper,
vinegar.
Just to use some bacteria. So that was an important talking point about medicated shampoos. They can't be diluted and still expect the same kind of antibacterial result.
Missy, go ahead and try to watch it later on the YouTube channel, or it'll post on the Facebook page and see if it's better when it's less fuzzy for you. It's an internet issue. Have a great day, though. Thanks for being here. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Just we have one of our listeners having a bad feed, so which you know it happens. It's one of those things. Hopefully, not everybody's
what I'm seeing though is kind of. Not really clear. Okay,
you look clear
so
as a bell to me. You're spectacular. I could pick the pores out on your face. Nope, not quite.
Because they're so large.
No. Not what I mean. Oh my god.
That's not a good. That's not a good thing to say to an old lady.
So
you know, like it's like when I turn the mirror around and I have 10x. You remember that scene from Home Alone? Ah!
Yeah.
That's me. That's me when I turn the 10X mirror around. Ah, no, don't tell me. Look at those pores.
Those poor newscasters anyway, with the fancy TVs now. I can really see. I can see their nose hair. I can see every blemish on their face even through the makeup.
I know.
That must be horrible. I would be
I feel bad. Yeah, I feel bad for them because it's just like too clear. Okay, so where were we? About the absorbers.
Yeah, I got one more thing. So the difference between the moisture magnets and the absorber towels is night and day because they are actually made from different material. The absorber towel is more like a really thin magic eraser or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more that type of an item, whereas a moisture magnet is just a really absorbent towel that's padded together and made really thick, so it works more like a sponge than a towel. But the idea is good, but it's not exactly the same thing. Like in the summertime, it would be very easy for me to just use the Costco little microfiber towels for the little dogs and the moisture magnets for the bigger dogs. But I think that this is so much more of an aid than just a towel. This is actually wicking a lot more of the moisture off of there. And there are other brands of the same type of towel, but there are also more of the kind of mixture between microfiber and towel out there. Where so don't, what I'm saying is don't necessarily think you're getting the same thing if you're buying a substitute. However, there are substitutes out there that are pretty close to the same thing. So if you want to spend time shopping around, but if you want to support the show, support the groomer, the absorber towel people, because they're supporting us. So there you go. I think that covers the absorber thing. Find a way to ring it. They're well worth using. And I'm going to figure out.
No, she's just taking the towels to her house to wash them.
Okay. Well, still, we're the rest of the world. Go give an absorber towel a try. I think they're really great. I cannot say enough about them. I just got to get the funky smell out of the baggy thing, but I think we've got a solution to that. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. So let's move on to another one of the wonderful questions that we have from our Facebook page. And if I can find them, let's go over here. Tap dance for a minute, Barbara. Did anything happen to you this week you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, I want to introduce the little item that I got off of Amazon.
Okay.
So the last time that I did a team grooming of the wicked bearded collie that is so rowdy on his grooming that he has to come in on a day off.
Yes.
And Yvonne and I team groom him. She'll be on one side of the table and I'm on the other. And the truth is she has moved the table so that my back is to the shelf in the back that where you would have your tools and stuff. And so in order to use the shelf, I have to keep twisting around to the back and getting like the spray bottle. But when I'm doing that kind of a brush dry situation, a force dry, I use a spray like Best Shot Ultra Vitalizing Spray, the part of the three-part system. And I spray that as I'm drying, because I found no matter how much silicone and good slippery conditioners you might have worked into the coat during the bath, you can get a little more detangling and brushing out aid if you mist the coat as you dry it, or even saturate a matted area and dry that. So I'm using the bottle and I'm putting it down, and I put it on the table, and then she blows it off the table from her side. Or maybe it's on her side of the table and I blow it off the table with my words, because you know, like, you just aren't, there's just like no getting around it. Stuff's just like slides right off the table and onto the floor, and you don't want that. And I get so frustrated. So I said, okay, there's got to be a solution to this. And I said, I need a holder on this table. Now, I had a great big tray, three-section tray thing that clamped on the table at one end or the other. But that gets in the way when you use when we wheel the table over to the tub and use it to get large dogs into the tub, like the bearded collies that we do. So
are you ready? Tell me when you're ready and I'll put it up.
Okay, well, let's put it up. So here is an item that I found on, I found a clamp on cup holder with a little dual section tray attached to it. So here's the picture. And it really works. Now, might not work if you have a jumbo spray bottle, but it certainly works for an average spray bottle, like a 16-ounce spray bottle. Or I use the Sentiment spray bottles that are smaller and narrow. I can put that in at my table. I can put a Sentiment spray and a couple of bottles of essential oils that I use at the table. And then the little dish that comes off to the side, you can put snap-on combs or an extra blade or any number of small items in that thing. And it also comes just the cup holder without the tray. So I have both. And I bought the without the tray first. This tray thing is the latest model. And I really liked it so much that I bought the second one, and I saw the tray and I thought, well, that'll work. It doesn't work on my table because I've got too many things clamped onto the end of the table that I can use it. But it's got a pretty wide grip. I mean, it doesn't have to be a thin table. Most grooming tables will be fine. It will fit over that. And it clamps securely. It doesn't fall off with a full bottle, spray bottle in there. It just seems to be a real handy little item on my table, and it's very easy to clamp. It doesn't hurt your hands to press it down to unclamp it. It's easy to work on. Doesn't hurt your hands. I just really recommend it. So
excellent.
You can go on Amazon and search for clamp-on cup holder, and you'll find it. And it's like $10.
It's neat.
It's not
looking
too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's and it comes in different colors.
Cool.
So it's neat looking. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go back?
That's my little what?
Do you want to go back to big U, or do you want to stay little U?
Little U is, I don't care. Okay. I'm big in spirit.
Yes, you are. Because see, we can do, hey, why don't you come on?
So the other what's new is that I got the trophy came.
The trophy came.
And the only reason you haven't seen pictures of it is that the trophy came along with notes that that Chris had handwritten notes of that people had submitted to her when they voted. And so I've got, you know, like about five wonderful little acknowledgement notes. And I thought, I want to display those notes as well. Why should I just have them in my in a box somewhere? So I went back on Amazon. Hey, girlfriend, I have been doing some shopping. I have been shopping, and I bought a small framed cork bulletin board. And it's actually half bulletin board and half whiteboard, so I can say something on it, like check out these messages I got or whatever I want. And then I can put the I'm going to put the two things together, the trophy in the back and the bulletin board, on a display somewhere in some little place in the front of my shop. And it will all go together.
Cool. I can't wait to see the picture because I am so jealous of that trophy. That's really neat.
Oh,
of
course, man. The trophy, it's just as, yeah, it's, this is just such a, and everybody loves it. Oh, what a beautiful piece of glass it is. You know, like it just has value even as just all by itself. But to be a lifetime contribution award, well, man, that's just so awesome.
It is awesome.
It just feels so good.
It's really cool. It is so cool. Okay, well, let's see. I hate to ask you this, Barbara, and it's really unimportant because we're on YouTube, so I can just get it off of there. Did you start your recording?
Oh, fuck. Thank
you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll get it off YouTube this time because I'm not going to edit it anyway. So you guys are hearing a little of the behind the scenes of the Groom Pod right now. Okay, I've got a question from Abby Hoffer, who says, what is the best and fastest way to grow your business? I just started my own mobile in October, and I would love to be able to quit my job and just be grooming. So my suggestion there is tell all of your clients that you want clients, because if they like you, they'll help you spread the word. And that's the only way I have ever done it. What about you, Barbara? I think you took out a Yellow Pages ad, didn't you?
Oh, man. Back in the day, that was the only way. And I had to wait like 6 months. I didn't plan ahead for that. And I had to wait for 6 months. And I'm telling you, when the first 6 months of my business, every Saturday I would go out to the swap meet and work the swap meet. And I won't tell you what I was selling, but okay, I was selling marijuana paraphernalia at the swap meet. I had some friends who owned a head shop, and I would just go there, and they would give me whatever they really wanted to move, and I would sell pipes and marijuana leaf belt buckles and bongs and.
Very funny.
So that's what I did on Sundays, not on Saturdays, because I had to work on Saturdays. But every Sunday I would pack that up, and then later on I had another crisis, and I went back to the swap meet. I had an employee that embezzled from me and almost took my business out, and to make some money, I would take all of my leashes and collars and holistic pet supplies and everything out to the swap meet on Sunday and set up and sell them. But that's my story. So I understand the question better now that you've explained to me that it's a new business. That's just excruciating, waiting for business to pick up. And I would say, but I know that Crystal Dunn started her business just by using Facebook.
Sorry, noises.
Okay. Are you listening back to me? Why?
Yep. Because I love you so much, I want to hear it twice. No, I'm trying. Okay, give me a second so I can mute this. I just wanted to see. Whoops, that's the wrong way. Why does it go unintuitively? Okay, there we go. I was just checking to see there's seven people watching because I can't really see it unless I go over here and check. No, I don't want to watch that. Okay. Oh, chat publicly. Look at that. I found a thing that says chat publicly.
Huh. Well, hey.
I'm going to say hi. Let's see if that works.
See what happens. Oh, what the heck?
It popped up. They lied to me this morning. Okay, guys, for those of you who are watching on the YouTube channel, I can see your chat, so you can talk to me there. Holy cow. Okay, cool. Lesson learned. Anyway, now why were we talking about this? Oh, yeah, mobile grooming. Welcome to my world. Okay, so with being mobile, it's pretty easy to get your word out in the neighborhoods you want to work. The way to do that is to use your vehicle for all of your errands. So if you drive to the school to pick up your kids, drive your van. If you're going to get coffee, drive your van. If you're grocery shopping, drive your van. Drive your van everywhere with your information on it because people like that. They see the number on there. They're intrigued by mobile grooming. Then there's the whole separate part of how to weed out the people you don't want because there are a lot of people that aren't really conducive to mobile grooming. But, man, getting out there. What else, Barbara? Next door, your neighborhood group.
Yeah, next door. But you have to be tactful in using next door because you can't – Well, I don't know. I get mad when groomers go on there and blatantly ask for business. We had a young groomer go on next door and say, you know, I need to groom so many, 200 more dogs before I get my certificate, blah, 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 and here I am. And I'm thinking, well, son of a gun, you know, I've been on this next door for 3 years and I've never marketed on the regular feed.
Right. I just do, over there in the the business.
Yeah, part. You know, like, but I participate on the feed, and whenever there's a conversation like dogs burning their feet in the summertime on the Tucson asphalt, I'll go in as a professional groomer of 48 years, you know, and then they can connect it, and I'm listed in the anywhere that they'll let me list. I put my business, right?
Right.
And so Nextdoor can be good, especially if you're willing to participate on Nextdoor.
And it's free.
You know, the same thing that goes for Facebook. You can't just put up a Facebook page for your business and then walk away from it. You need to work it. You need to think about what kind of dogs would you really like to groom. Oh, I want to groom more Westies. Find the Westie Facebook group. Join it. Talk to them about, you know, like, don't just go on and start promoting your business, but go on and support the group by engaging in conversation with them. And then slip it in that you're a groomer. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah.
Also mention to your people who you're currently grooming that you can put a, if they wouldn't mind putting a review up there. That's helpful, too, I think. Also get the...
Right.
Cards at the vet offices, park at the dog park, all that. Just do everything you can, drive in that van around, and you'll find yourself so busy and nothing flat. All right, should we do another one?
Yelp. You can use Yelp too. Get your customers to, you know, when they ask them to please go on Yelp and leave you a review.
All right. Okay, let's do another question, Barbara. Attending Groom Expo, Miranda, attending Groom Expo West and traveling to California for the first time. Any advice for the show, hotels, etc.? Well, if you want to stay at Knott's Berry Farm, if you just go to the, oh, not Knott's Berry Farm. That's right. You're talking about the grooming show. Okay. Pasadena. Pasadena is a show I haven't been to, so I don't have any advice on the location or anything like that. But it's a Barclay show. I went to it when it was in Burbank, which was a whole different part of the city and had different demographics and all that. So I don't think, Barbara, you haven't been to the new Pasadena location either.
No, you know what? I'm in Arizona. California is our next-door neighbor, and I've never been to a California Groom Expo. I've never been invited, like instead I've been all to all those far away ones on the East Coast. But
well,
you know, never
just
have.
Some basic tips like I was talking about at the beginning. It helps to stay at the hotel. It helps to bring a cart or something like that that you can carry your stuff around on. You know, sometimes I've got like a fold up rolling bag. I'll bring that to throw stuff in. Bring some water and hydration and snacks and stuff like that. What else, Barbara? Make a plan.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could go into a whole thing about how to attend a show, but I do think that there's a lot to be gained by staying in the hotel or staying right where the show is. And sometimes these shows have gotten so big now, though, that they're not in hotels all the time. They're in convention halls that are like freestanding and stuff like that. So that makes it like you just want to find the nearest hotel, because you're going to want to go back to your room. And if you are too far away, you're not going to do that. Instead, you're going to just push yourself till you get exhausted. And it's going to take some of the fun out of the show if you can't go back to your room, or you go back and it's too far away.
Your highlighter is your best friend. Get the program out and highlight everything you want to see and do so that you can then find the stuff. And the biggest thing about shows is the networking that you're going to be able to have. You're going to be able to talk to the people who make the shampoo or make the products sometimes, or you're going to talk to those famous groomers that we see on the cover of Groomer to Groomer magazine or in the creative. You're going to get learning opportunities that you don't want to miss, because it's, you know, the only time you get these learning opportunities. And I would say Hershey is the biggest grooming show. Super Zoo is the biggest pet industry show. Pasadena, probably the second biggest, right there with Atlanta Pet Fair, which is also another big one. So I think that's pretty good. Let's move on. Next show. Look in the archives of the Groom Pod, because we've talked about how to go to a show at least twice. But there's no search function in that stupid thing. So I really apologize for that. I should have chosen a better host. But now to move 240 episodes is just an overwhelming task. I would have to just basically start new. We would
fresh.
Lose the archives, and then we would have to post best of every, like, post a new episode and a best of to get all of them back up in the archives, which is something I might consider later. But it's a big fat headache, and as you guys all know, I can barely get the gosh darn thing edited to my happy degree without, you know.
That's because you're such a perfectionist.
I want us to be professionals. We're professionals. It needs to be clean. It needs to flow like you're reading. It needs to not have 8 million ums and uhs and all the in-betweeners and the you-knows and the stuffs and the all of that stuff that I like to cut out. I want it to be a nice, polished, finished product, unlike the live version, which is raw and unedited and in your face. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure.
They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Well, I could like, hey, speaking of reading,
yeah.
Can I cover this? Can I read this? Got something I want to read.
Okay, well, okay, why don't you do your definition, do your definition du jour and your topic, and then we'll end it for the day, even though I've got more questions, okay. But we'll tackle them later. Okay.
Okay, so listen, one of the online journals that I subscribe to is HAPPI, H-A-P-P-I, which is the professional care kind of their main speakeasy there, and I ran into a notice about an article that appeared about a news item that appeared in November. Well, it was a news event that appeared in November, and here's what happened, and it happened in Massachusetts. One person died and 10 others fell ill at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Massachusetts on Thursday night after being exposed to a cleaning agent inside the restaurant.
What?
Well, okay, so that's where it gets relevant to us. So, the substance was a sodium hypochlorite. Sodium hypochlorite is bleach, people. That is the chemical name of bleach, okay?
Okay.
A sodium bleach solution called Super 8. And so the fire chief said it's a common product, and he said an employee had used it for the floors. Now, it's unclear how the solution turned deadly. Because we use bleach all the time and we don't die, right? Dr. Kelly Johnson Arbor, co-medical director of the National Capital Poison Center, says Super 8 becomes dangerous when mixed with other chemicals.
Oh,
so now the problem is that the person that died, that was the person that did the most of the, that mixed up the mop bucket and all of that.
Yeah.
That guy, he died. It was fatal.
Wow.
So sodium hypochlorite is a chemical found in many household bleaches and is relatively safe when used correctly. But when it's mixed with ammonia, the solution emits a harmful gas called chloramine, a deadly harmful gas called chloramine. That's apparently what happened, but we'll never know for sure.
Well, that's one big fat
because
reason
the guy
not to
is
use
deceased.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And so So look, it was just one death, but then there was another co-worker. There was a co-worker who used the product and then went outside for fresh air. But the guy whose main job it was, he persisted and kept cleaning with it, and he's the one that died. The gas is very irritating to your eyes, nose, lungs, and respiratory system. And frequently when someone is cleaning, they don't have adequate ventilation. So lacking adequate ventilation is something that's of concern for you mobile groomers.
Because I definitely mobile groomers lack are in, adequate ventilation.
Yeah, so most mobile units do, unless it's in the summertime, you got the door open and everything. But people who inhale toxic chemicals can experience respiratory distress, nausea, lightheadedness, and difficulty breathing. If you're using something and you feel this way, and you're feeling this way, you get out of that situation. Make sure you get fresh air and seek medical care. They urge the importance of using cleaning products the way they were designed to be used. That means read your labels and adhere by them. This is a good example of how hazardous it can be to become a mixologist with cleanings. It's one thing to become a mixologist at the tub with shampoos and conditioners and a little bit of silicone, but it's not a good thing to become a mixologist with cleaning products if you don't know your chemistry.
So I do have to use bleach to get the mold out of the corners of my trailer, because otherwise it would just kind of proliferate in the wintertime up there. But I don't do it when I've got a dog in the room. Ever. I never do. I don't do it.
Well, and then you just use the bleach. I hate bleach. I hate bleach because it's caustic to surfaces. It rusts metal, and it can damage pet paws and so on and so on. But I understand that you've got this challenge with the mold. But I actually
get the pre-mixed concentrate, that so I'm not mixing it myself, so I don't make any errors. I buy a pre-mixed solution that has also some surfactant in it, so that I know that I'm not using something that is over concentrated, because I worried about that. So I just buy the Costco big jug of bleach.
It's not really a matter of concentration.
Okay.
This issue. I mean, because you can have, but
this was more interaction.
This is the finish. In general, people should be very careful about using both household and commercial cleaning products. Johnson Arbor said, definitely never mix two cleaning products together. Because if you mix them together, then you can have toxic gases with deadly consequences. I mean, you don't want to die. You don't want the dog to die. The dogs have even a smaller respiratory situation. They can be overcome much easier than you can even. So it's be careful with bleach. I know people that are real careless with bleach, because they're just, it's such a ubiquitous substance. It's been in our lives forever, and
it's
they
heavily
don't
used,
even think it.
It's heavily used in the restaurant industry.
Used in the restaurant industry, used in dog boarding facilities. It's used a lot, and we've used it a lot. I don't use it hardly at all, although I will have. Oh, well, one of my experiences with bleach was that I came into work one morning after a weekend, first day of work, and the bottom of my tub was rusted out, and that was because the employee of the moment had left a bleach solution sitting in the tub because he thought it would really clean the tub.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was going to get rid of the staining in this old tub, and then it just rusted the bottom. And if it had continued to sit there, it probably would have rusted through. Oh, I was so mad. But it's a less slippery surface. And I cover it up with a bath mat, of course. Yeah. But it was infuriating. I mean, it was just like, and see, that's the kind of thing that happens, is that people think they know. You know, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And what you might not know are the hazardous things about bleach. So then another thing that happened that I got wind of on this happy journal, and you can join that if you want to be kind of kept up to date about new kinds of products in the human beauty and personal care area, or new, you kind of get wind of what's going on the larger scale and what's coming down the pike that might eventually end up in the pet industry.
So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
I also read a notice that one of the major chemical suppliers, that's the BASF, they just go by their initials, BASF is introducing a line of controlled low, ultra low in 1,4-dioxane products. So what is 1,4-dioxane? Dioxane, and why should we worry about it? Well, 1,4-dioxane is a byproduct of the making of the surfactants that can be left in the product. And it's very bad. It's a flammable liquid and a fire hazard, potentially explosive and exposed to light and air. It's
found in many federal... I've never tried to light my shampoo on fire, but I suspect it doesn't really burn.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a human carcinogen. It's bad. It's a bad news item that's not an ingredient, but it can be found in ingredients that are manufactured carelessly. And the thing of it is, it's used to badmouth a whole bunch of ingredients, like all of the PEG PEG ingredients, all of the inthoxylated sodium laureth sulfate, ammonium laureth sulfate, all the ethoxylated surfactants, there's a whole lot of ingredients that undergo a process of that results in the emission of 1,4-dioxane, and it's supposedly kind of vacuum cleaned from the product before it's passed on to purchasers. But it's there, it's news that this chemical supplier is not only owning that it's there, but they're being proactive and coming out with products that have a guaranteed safe level. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is the difference between the manufacturing process, right? It's whether you're in a really good factory that vacuums out all of the byproduct or as much as you possibly can, or whether you're in some hokey backyard shampoo producing.
Or China.
Because,
you know, like an awful lot of chemicals come from China. And they come from China because they're priced affordably for the manufacturers. And China is not good at policing for standards like parts per million of 1,4-dioxane left in shampoo surfactants. So I'm just saying...
Is that your washing machine?
No, that's the next door neighbor.
Oh, I'm glad that's not the washing machine.
No. It only bangs for a few times before it stops.
Okay, well.
But,
hey, through the microphone, it helps. It sounded like that.
And it helps if I lean against it. There I am, you know, in the middle of the night.
So how do we know whether we're getting a clean product or not? You buy one of these newfangled?
We don't know. How do we know? And how do we know? But for me, it's a reason to buy from what you would call alert, mindful.
Conscious.
What is that word they say? Conscious. Shampoo suppliers that you know are shopping for quality ingredients, and quality meaning they're not buying from China.
Well, that's
I'm just going to say that, you know. Yeah. But it's interesting to know that, Canada has started defining limits and regulating limits of free 1,4-dioxane in products. And California, of course, has a real high standards about that. There's a few states that are now...
In theme park news today, Barbara, theme park news?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Theme park.
Yeah, did you see what they did at the theme park in China where they put the pig, they bungee jumped with the pig? That was horrible.
Fuck.
That was awful. I'm just warning you guys.
Oh, fuck.
If you did not see that and it happens to come across your feed, do not play it. It is extremely disturbing. It is horrible, horrible animal abuse, and it ended up all over Facebook. Maybe they pulled it down, but at least in the enthusiast
community. Oh, I'm so glad
it
didn't come.
Yeah. You were looking something up. What were you looking up? Anything?
Oh, I was just trying to, I was just looking up the states. There's at least 22 states that have guidelines and that have established, but that's in drinking water. When I say 1,4-dioxane is ubiquitous, I mean it's everywhere. It's not just a problem with our shampoos, but but it's used as a battering ram against our shampoos. And it's good to know that some of our major chemical suppliers are just becoming aware, but are becoming proactive about actually taking measures to reduce this toxin from our products.
Cool. I want to tackle one more question, just because, and then we'll wrap up, okay? How do you get rid of the foam in your bathing system? I know the answer. Do you know the answer? You do. Of course you know the answer.
Of course I know the answer. I sell the bathing beauty. Buy from me, people.
Yes.
Want a bathing beauty? Please. Well, just plug me right now. Yeah, of course. You use fabric softener.
Yeah, a little bottle with diluted fabric softener in a spray bottle, and then you just spray the foam down so you're not wasting your water on your mobile. Cool. That was the last question. There's another question about bathing systems. We'll cover that another day because I think we've probably been on for a while. Can't tell, but...
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, excellent. Barbara, I'm so glad it worked this time, even though it didn't work on Facebook, and I will get to the Stage 10 people and wonder why our Facebook link didn't work, even though they can get to it through the link to the YouTube page, which is my YouTube page and not the Groom Pod's YouTube page. And someday I'll fix that too, but we're not at numbers we can monetize.
There's always more technical something that you can master. You know, there's always more to master when it comes to this technical stuff. And I'm just glad I finally got on there today. And, but that wasn't my fault that I got the 404 message every time I tried to link up with you.
Yeah, so, no, I think that's the internet in that case. That's speed, the internet speed.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. So I want to talk a little bit about the release schedule for the next couple days or for the next couple of weeks on the podcast. I'm going to Magic Mountain and Knott's Berry Farm next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Not the one that's coming up, but the one after it. So like 9 sleeps away, maybe 8 sleeps away, I'll be gone. This last week, we had a home inspector come to the house, and I was telling people before you came on that I'm refinancing a debt consolidation home equity loan kind of a thing, and they wanted to walk through my house, and we don't have people. So they told me that this whole process of doing this refinancing or consolidating all the HELOC and everything else was going to take like 60 days. It's only been 2 weeks and everything is pretty much done. And they're like, well, we just need the house inspection. House inspection, are you kidding me? And then on top of it, they wanted a profit and loss statement, which I have a profit and loss statement, but I didn't need to do it till next month. So I had to stop all of the editing for this week's show, which is why we didn't get a show, or last week's show at this point, why we didn't get a show. And then... it screwed me. So now I'm all behind on everything. But I've got my profit and loss statement done. And they came through yesterday morning and inspected the house, which was really weird. You know, it's just weird. We don't have people at the house. It was weird. Anyway, all of that's done now. And I can get back to focusing on getting our editing done. But I've got this little vacation coming up. So it'll be a little flexible as to what I get out when for 2 weeks, but we'll get 2 shows out here within the next 2 weeks. And I guess that's it. Thanks for being here. You guys remember to support our sponsors. You know who they are. I can't mention them here. But I will put this up in unedited form if there's anything you feel like you need to listen to twice, which I'm not sure why anyone would do that other than me.
We can't even name our sponsors.
Not on YouTube or Facebook. Yeah. And since I put the link up on Facebook, we can.
Yeah, but that's okay because everyone here knows who our sponsors are, and we mentioned a couple of them just in passing anyway, and I'll insert them in the podcast form so that they'll be in there. All right, cool. Thanks for being here, Barbara. I will see you next Sunday, as usual, and I'll be chatting with you during the week. But groomers, thanks for being here live, and we'll see you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye, everybody. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.